Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Deborah Deans and the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries studying the Word on tonight. I'm going to call our Bible class to order now. We're going to have a song. We're going to have the reading of the scriptures and a prayer. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 64, hear my voice, oh God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrections of the workers of iniquity, who warrant their tongues like a sword and bend their bows to shoot the arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They commune of laying snares privately. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thoughts of every one of them, and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded, so they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the works of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. I have just read you from Psalm 64 in its entirety. May God add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all the doers of its most holy word. Father, we come on tonight humbly before your throne of grace, Father, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come on tonight, Father, if we've offended anyone in any kind of way, Lord, we ask you to forgive us right now. We ask you on tonight, Master, to search our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. If there is anything in there, Lord, that should not be, Lord, and we ask you right now, Father, to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you tonight to create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind on tonight, Father. We come on tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. First of all, we ask you to bind up the strong man on tonight, Lord. Bind the strong man up, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask you on tonight to bind up every negative thing, every evil thing, every wicked and mean thing. Hallelujah. I'm picking up some stuff in the atmosphere. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you on tonight, Lord, to bind every demonic thing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We ask you tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to bind it right now, Lord, and loose us from it right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I need to be called about them in the name of Jesus. We come right now, Lord, and seeking your face, Lord, while you may be found. Calling on your name, Lord, while you're near tonight, in the name of Jesus, we come, Lord, asking you to cover our minds and our thoughts in the shed blood of Jesus on this evening, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come asking you to let us all be on one accord in the study of your word, Lord. Open up our understanding on tonight. Let me decrease that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, can increase and teach your people on tonight. In the name of Jesus, let me lay my will down, Father, that your will may be done in our lives. In the name of Jesus, I give you praise and glory. And I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless everyone in radio land. In the name of Jesus, keep them covered in the shed blood on tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you right now for what you've already done in our lives, Lord. In the name of Jesus, somebody needs you on tonight. In the name of Jesus, somebody, Lord, been seeking your face, Lord. Somebody, Lord, calling on your name. I know. In the name of Jesus,
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. I thank you right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Somebody waiting on something to happen. Hallelujah. And God said it's already done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's clear passage or something. He was saying that it's clear passage. It's clear. Hallelujah. Whatever it is. Hallelujah. I don't know what I'm even saying. I know what I'm hearing, though. In the name of Jesus, I give God praise. He's already worked the situation out. In the name of Jesus, it's already cleared up and cleared out. In the mighty name of Jesus, I give you praise for it, Lord. I give you glory. Hallelujah. I magnify your name, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you right now, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I hear the Lord say, share. Share. I know that by coming be called. In the name of Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, he working the situation out. He see, I hear him say it's all worked out. Hallelujah. I don't know who he's talking to and who this for. Could be somebody in radio. And I don't know what I'm talking about. I just know what I hear. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. He said, let there be no resistance. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Glory, no resistance. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Somebody needs some rest. He said rest. Rest. Sweet sleep. Hallelujah. Some rest. Hallelujah. My God, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the prophets and the apostles. And the bishops and the preachers, evangelists, teachers. We thank you tonight. Lord, we give you praise, Lord, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Hallelujah. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing on tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. We just give God all the praise tonight and the glory and the honor on tonight. We give him praise tonight. Yes, Lord. We honor you. We reverence you, Lord. He is my life. He is the head of my life, and he is my life. And to everyone in their respective places, to apostles, deans, in his absence, and to everyone, I just thank God for another opportunity to be here. I thank God on tonight. He didn't have to let me be here, but he did. And I thank him on tonight. So we're going to move right along by the grace of God. We're over in Zechariah chapter 5. Zechariah chapter 5. And here we're talking about vision of the flying roll. Just 1 second.
Hello?
Okay, I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry, I'm just getting some things together. We talking about the vision of the flying role and the vision of a woman in an imp. I know I'm not saying it right, but it's E-P-H-A-H, imp. We come to these two visions, which are the most highly symbolic and unusual of this series in Zechariah. The first one is the flying roll or scroll makes a sharp division in the meaning of the vision which Zechariah received. In the first two chapters, God makes it clear that he intends to put down all the enemies of Israel, and that the nations will become the nation of priests, which was God's original intention. God told them that this was his desire for them when he brought them out of the Egyptian bondage. But because of their sin, only one tribe, the tribe of Levi, which was chosen for the priesthood. Then, in the vision of Joshua and Satan, we learn that the nation first had to be cleansed. Then the vision of the branch of and the stone with seven eyes look forward to the kingdom age when God, having cleansed them, will use them and they will become a light to the world, symbolic by the lampstand being fed oil from the olive trees. The oil representing the Holy Spirit signified that they would witness in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is all well and good, but it does raise a question. Does it mean that every member of this nation, every Israelite, will be chosen, even those who live in continual rebellion and sin? In the visions before us, we will see that the judgment of God will come upon those who do not become obedient unto him. He will judge them. By the same token, God will do this to the whole world. Although these visions have in mind the local nations, they also have a world view. And it's just so much. We have to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I don't care what nobody say. We have to be obedient to the word of God, because the word is God. The word is God. We have to be obedient. Even sometimes we don't, and I'm just going to say like this. A lot of times he give us things to do. We don't have time to do them. We be running here doing this, and I'm talking about myself first because I've been busy. But we got to find time to do what the Lord say do. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it takes. It's hard when you're young and you're working or you're going to school or whatever you're doing. You still have to do what God has called you to do. You still have to be obedient. And then we all should be paying more attention to the things of God. a lot of times we look over that. We skip over, we look over the things of God, the things that he's called us to do, the things that in when I was younger, I always missed because I would be doing or talking, running my mouth or head on crooked, and I would just catch the tail end of what he was saying. And God don't repeat itself like that. I'll be saying, what? I didn't hear it. What? A lot of times it'd be a scripture. And sometimes I could catch the scripture tail end of it and go back and read it. But a lot of times for me running my mouth or doing other things, I would miss it. That's why I learned to be quiet. People say, you don't talk nothing. I sure don't talk a lot because I don't want to miss nothing God says, and he don't talk loud. But he talks enough for you to hear him if you're not always, you know, running off at the mouth or listening. You don't always be talking. Just listen to somebody else and miss what he got to say to you. And then there we go. We didn't miss what he said for us to do, because a lot of times it comes through scripture and it comes through a word from somebody, you know, through somebody, but it'll come through a scripture. He's speaking all kind of ways. And so if we miss that, we missed it. And then here we are disobedient because we're not doing it because we didn't hear it. So we got to pay more attention to the things of God, the things that he's saying for us to do. And we got to always have an open heart. When your spirit gets so sensitive in there, where it can pick right up on what God is saying at any given time, because even like when you be praying, I mean, when I was just praying then, I was picking up on all kind of stuff. I could hear him plainly. A lot of times when I'm praying for people, I hear, but it's a lot of people on the radio broadcast, so I don't know who it was for, but I know what he said. And it's not really my business who it was for. Whoever it was for, they know. I don't have to know. I just spoke what I heard. But I was obedient enough to do it. And God wants us to be obedient. Sometimes it don't always feel good. It don't always feel good, but we got to be obedient. Let me be quiet and go on. The vision of the flying roll, chapter 5, verse 1 says, then I turned out. Now just imagine yourself, put yourself in Zechariah. Just kind of imagine yourself then. Zechariah is how you would feel when God was doing, allowing you to see and experience this stuff, because that's what I do. He said, then I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. How would you look and see? How would you feel something flying coming towards you, or do you just seeing something flying over in the rooms? The first thing that we should establish is that this flying roll is a scroll, which represents the word of God. We get this explanation from the prophet Ezekiel. And when I had looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me. And it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations of mourning and woes. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man. Now this is Ezekiel now that I'm talking about. Son of man, eat the finest, eat this roll. I guess, wait a minute. God spoke unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll, and he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. That's Ezekiel. Yep. Ezekiel was to digest the word of God, and then he was to give it out to the people. This is a tremendous picture for us who are preaching. We ought to digest the word of God. It might be bitter in our bellies, but in our mouth, it should be as sweet as honey. That is something that we delight in giving out. You know, it might not always be good going down, but when it come out, we ought to be glad to give the word of God out. 5:2 says, and he said unto me, this is Zechariah, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. The size of the roll was 20 cubits by 10 cubits. That's a very large scroll. The scrolls in the days of Zechariah were made of animal skin with a roller at each end so that the one reading could roll it off one roller and unto the other roller as they read it. Instead of turning pages as we do when we read it, like we read a book, they would just unroll more of the scroll as they read along. But the scroll of Zechariah's vision was 20 by 10 cubits, was the measurements from the end of the middle finger to the elbow, and would vary depending upon the size of the individual, but was about 18 inches, I'll say. The only way it could be seen was to spread it out, and he sees it as a great flying roll that is traveling rapidly over the whole land. I imagine that it was completely unrolled as it moves over the earth. The size of the scroll is probably significant, as it is the same size as the holy place of the tabernacle and of the porch of Solomon's in the temple. And the porch before the temple of the house, 20 cubits was the length thereof, according to the breadth of the house. So it was a big scroll, roll, or whatever they call it. That was the place where the priest could come and worship according to the law. No one could ever go inside the veil unless the blood was put in there. That was done by the high priest only once a year when he went in as a representative of the whole nation. And when the high priest went in there, he stood on redeemed ground, having been redeemed by the blood, so they had to even apply the blood for themselves before they went behind the veil. You and I today stand on a redeemed ground. We have not been redeemed by gold and silver or by precious stones or precious jewels, but we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we're standing on a flying carpet, I would say, whatever, because the Holy Ghost is awesome. And that's my role. We've been redeemed. Zechariah 5:3 says, then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that steal it shall be cut off as on this side according to it. and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. Apparently, the Ten Commandments were written on the scroll. And the Ten Commandments are divided in two parts. The first four commandments deal with man's relationship to God. And the last six commandments deal with man's relationship to man. Therefore, the commandments regarding stealing is cited here. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. Probably represents the section which deals with man's relationship to man. This is clearly identified in Psalms 50. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consented with him, thou shalt not steal, and has been partakers with adultery, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou givest to the mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speaketh against thy brother. Thou slander thy own mother's son. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such and one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thy eyes. 50, verses 18 through 21. Now, because men in that day were able to break the Ten Commandments without suffering God's punishment, they came to the conclusion that he was just like they were and would not do anything about their transgressions. But God says that he's going to do something about them. The Mosaic law was given to the nation of Israel and was not to be the law of that nation, and they were to obey the law. Well, they disobeyed it, of course, and so God put them out of their land and their dispersion among the nations that scattered the Mosaic law. The mark of civilization has been the commandments of God, which relate especially to the man's relationship with man. I want you to notice here the great principle which is put down concerning the law, and especially the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments were given to the nation Israel as they stood in the crossroads of the world, and they took them with them wherever they went. They had a tremendous influence upon Egypt as they became a nation down there. When they went into Assyria and Babylon, to the Babylonian captivity, they had a great influence upon the first great empire. They had an influence upon the Macedonian Empire and the Roman Empire. These are okay. These are what we were studying in the Book of Revelations 2. The Persians. And like that, we studied those in the Book of Revelation. The Ten Commandments produced a civilization. You can say what you please, but the great civilization of this world had these laws as a basis. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery. These have been basic to a nation. Building the homes, building a way of life, and establishing civilization. So as long as our nation had them, we were blessed by God, and our problems were few compared to what they are today. But our contemporary world society has abandoned them, and we have come to the same place to which the nation Israel had come. God has given Israel as an example. God is saying, although I had chosen Israel as a nation, I will judge every individual that breaks my commandments. And so this plan role represents for the whole earth, the basis upon which God deals with nations. The interesting thing is that it is very difficult to find anything wrong with this law. Now God goes ahead and says this, verse 4, I will bring it forth, said the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of the house and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. It shall enter into the house of the thief that represents the commandments which have to do with man's relationship to man, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, refers to the first section of the Ten Commandments. Even by the name of God, a man would perjure himself. The Ten Commandments were never given to the Christian as a way of life. We as believers have been called to do a much higher plane, and we attain that plane by grace. Actually, man cannot even attain the plane of the Messianic law. God gave them the law, but he gave them no aid to go with it. That is, he did not give them the filling of the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit did not indwell in the Old Testament saints. Therefore, man in his own strength and ability could never measure up to the Ten Commandments. You and I live in the dispensation of grace. And God has given to us the Holy Spirit, whereby we can produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, love, joy, peace, long suffering, etc., which were never in the Messianic law. So they didn't have the Holy Spirit like we have. He is a keeper. He's a keeper if you want to be kept. So the Ten Commandments, some people, they think it's just the Old Testament, and we're in a different dispensation, we are. But God never changed his Ten Commandments. All those other commandments, you know, that we cannot live by, lesson you have the blood of rams and goats and bulls. No. But the Ten Commandments, he didn't change not one of them. And that's what we have to live by. Keep the commandments. And I was trying to say earlier, in the Word of God, it says, and I'll just paraphrase, we've been thought wrong so long, we think it's right. You know, we can say stuff that sound right, and it's not right. Even just, I'm trying to use an example. I'm trying to get a difficult one, because after a while, when you keep saying the same stuff and not doing what you're supposed to do, it becomes a lie. You understand? When you're saying, I'm going to put my coat on, and you every day you see it and you see it, but you don't never do it. Or
I'm going to the store, and every day you're saying that, or to the park, and you study sin and you study sin, but you don't never do it. I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm going to do it, but you never do it. So it becomes a lie after a while. So just have to watch. And then he was talking about swearing. Now, swearing to me is cursing. And we've all done it. Me first. I say cut. Mm-hmm. We've all done it. And we repented. But he don't want that. Swearing in his name, by his name. Because if you're a believer and you cussing, that's just swearing by his name. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't do it. Because it's an offense against God. He don't want you doing it. Now, believe me, if you around somebody that curse all the time, believe me, you're going to curse. Because, honey, some of that stuff jump right on you. All you know is you've been to say the cuss word. You be like, oh, my God, I said that. I'm going to have to stop that. So what the word of God say? What is it? I'm trying to get it together. Corrupt good character, whatever it is. So y'all know what I'm talking about. I can't even get it right now.
Evil communication.
Manners, corrupt
evil
communications. Communication, corrupt good character, good manners. That's what I'm talking about. You have to see, people don't understand. The more you can do what God say do, the more you will want to do. The more you live the holy, the more you want to live holy. The more you want to do right, the more you want to stop living any kind of way. You know what I'm saying? The more you want to do the right thing. Oh, I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. I could. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because, see, God give us time to change. But one day our life is going to be required to God. He's going to call us. And we got the answer. We got an answer.
That's right.
And he ain't gonna give us a chance to make it up right then.
Oh, my goodness.
He's given us a chance to live right. He's given us a chance to live holy, to get things right, to repent. He's given us a chance.
Yes.
After chance, after chance, after chance. Believe me, he's given me so many chances and chances and chances. That's when I told my sister, and I didn't even tell her to her for the right reason, but she was driving so fast, she was scaring me. So I had to do something to get her attention. I said, if you can't even keep the speed limit, how can God trust you and use you? You can't even keep the speed limit. The law of the land, that's an easy thing to do.
That's good. That's good, Apostle.
I mean, the stuff that you know to do right, do it. Do it. Sometimes we don't even look. We don't even, you know, it's just that ain't nothing. No, it is something. Because God is watching everything we do or say. We ought to be trying to please God in everything we do or say. You don't get with your friends, girl, let me tell you, honey, these niggas so-and-so, and all that kind of stuff. Because I'm telling you, it's my fault, because all these cheering on the Facebook, y'all hear me now, they be cussing, doing this, doing that, doing this. But I promise God, I don't want to hear this stuff. I'm going to start blocking them. I'm going to start cutting them off of me. I don't want to hear the cussing and stuff. I don't want to see it. I don't hear it, but I don't want to see it. And I know they're young, so I'm gonna get right on off their page because I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear no cussing on Facebook. I want to see it, brother. So I'm gonna start. I can't run nobody's life. All I'm gonna do is just block it. Block it off my page so I won't have to. This is the way we have to see. We have to do what's right. How are we going to help somebody else when we doing all of what we're doing? It may not seem like as much, but for me, I'm an apostle. I'm a woman of God. I ain't got no business with no cheering on my Facebook page and they cussing all this kind of stuff. I need to just get on off their page or get them on off my page so I won't be in that category because I'm telling you, I'm 61 years old and I'm trying to live holy as I can for the Lord. I don't do everything right. I sin every day and I repent as much as possible, but I'm going to try to live as holy as I can for God. Do you hear me? I'm going to, because when he called me, I want him to say, servant, well done.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I want him to say, you've done, and you've run this race, and you stood this, and you stood that. Come on up.
Yeah.
I don't want him thinking about it, where you did. You just know, because I want to please God. I want to please him in everything I do and say, and I don't want nothing in my heart wrong that I can change. You understand? If there's anything in my heart I can change, Lord, help me to change this. Help me. I don't want nothing in my heart that's not right. Because one day we got to stand before the great throne of God. And we got to be judged. Do you hear me? He got to judge us for everything. He got to judge us for every deed, whether it's good or bad. We got to stand before God for it. And see, we got to think about this. Did I do everything I could have done? You know what I'm saying? Could I have studied more? Could I have prayed more? Could I have fasted more? Could I have laid before God whatever I could have done? I want to do it the best that I can for the Lord, for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
You know, it's some things we just got to face reality. These are real things. This is a reality. We got to stand before God. I don't care. He's given us a chance to hang ourselves if we're going to do it. We doing it now. We better be trying to hold on to every knot that we can. Tie not in a knot and hang on for dear life to the Lord.
Ooh, ain't that the truth?
I'm telling you, we got to do it.
Lord.
It's time out for mess. It's time out for living loose living.
Jesus.
I don't care what they say about me. I just don't care. I just want to be pleasing to God. And maybe it took these 60 years for that to come in me. But, honey, I ain't mad.
Yeah.
And I thank God that he gave me this life and let me live this long so I can get where I am in God. I thank God for today. I thank him for today because some people don't even make it to 61. Some people don't. Some people don't make it through a massive heart attack. Some people don't make it through it. But don't you know I'm so grateful to God that he spared my life and he's still doing. And I thank God. Don't you know I want to live for God the right way? He should have let me die a long time ago.
My God, my God.
But I want to live the right way for the Lord. I want to do what's right for God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's all we have to depend on. We can't depend on man. We can't show confidence in man. You can't have no confidence in me. I'm just a mere human. But you got to put your whole confidence in God. He is the one. But to our Redeemer, but to give it to Him. The one who hung, dead, and died for us. The one He sent His only begotten Son for us. That's who we have to trust in. Don't trust in nobody else. But I'm just letting you know tonight, we got to be on point with God. Because you don't never know, hallelujah, when God is going to call your number, hallelujah, going to call your name. When He calls you, you got to answer. I don't care if you're 100 years old or you're 5 days old. When God calls you, you won't miss that time. You won't be late for that. And I'm telling you now, you got to live so God can use you, or He won't use you. I'm telling you now. When you're doing different things and people watching you, I don't care if it's your friends, I don't care if it's your sister, your brothers, do what you know is right. Don't do wrong. Because God is looking at you. God looking at you. Better go by this word. You better live by the word of God. Those 10 commandments is for us to live by. That is an example for us to live. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your brother, whoever. Better live by that. Read them. Go over them. He's not going to write no more. This is it. He going to say, I gave this for you to live by. And you didn't. There's no excuse for us to live any kind of way. And He done gave us the 10 commandments to live by. Oh, yeah, sometimes we fall, but you better get up. Shake yourself off. Pull up your bootstraps. Put on your big boy panties or big boy shorts. Pull them up and get busy in the kingdom. Repent and get busy. So don't sit well with me when I hear and see all the stuff that I hear and see. All I can do is pray for you. All we can do is pray for other people when we see and hear this stuff. But we have to live by the word of God, by the 10 commandments. That's what He gave them to us for. Some people, we can't keep them 10 commandments. The devil is alive. We ain't supposed to be out here stealing and killing. We ain't supposed to be covering our neighbor's wife or nothing. Our neighbor got none. Live by those 10 commandments. Because like I said, we done wrong so long, we think it's right. It's wrong.
Right.
You know, just looking at anything. I've seen some on television today about this news anchor was asking these women, how do it feel to live a life of lust? This on television. I said, Lord, have mercy.
My God. My God.
On these women, how do it feel to live a life of lusting? Woo!
Jesus.
Just what God say don't do. When I tell you this world, this place, when God's wrath come down, I tell you, when his judgment is passed, they're going to be howling and screaming. But when I tell you all the stuff they doing, hallelujah, all this lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life, when I tell you, when God get through, I ain't perfect by no means. Believe me, I'm not, but I'm trying to live right. I haven't lived right all my life. It's so many things and so many times. But it's so much I've been repenting and confessed and repenting, confessed, and still doing it. What? Every time I think of something I did when I was young, I try to repent. I try to ask God to forgive me. Even today, if I've done anything, you know, I try to do it. Because I want to look any kind of way to God. When he look at me, I want him to see the blood that's applied on me. I want him to see the blood of Jesus applied on my life, on me, so he can have mercy on me.
Yes,
that's what I want him to see. So y'all know I don't fuss, but this is so important because you don't never know where you're going to be at tomorrow. You don't never know what tomorrow may bring. I'm telling you, you don't never know what a day will make in your life. The changes, because God is going to get your attention some kind of way, whatever and however he does it, he's going to get your attention. Mm-hmm. He's going to get your attention, and when he get it, can't nobody get it like God can. When God do a thing, it's done. So, you know, I just wanted to, and we didn't get to the other one, but it's okay, because I want us to know, I want you to know that it's time out for a lot of stuff. It's time out for living any kind of way. It's time out for saying anything you think you want to say. It's time out.
Well, now,
God said, here I am. Hold on to me. Don't let go. Hold on. It be us letting go of God. God don't let go of us. We let his hand go.
Right.
Only way God will let go of us is if we in sin and filth. And he ain't gonna touch us until we come out of it.
Well, now.
And we have to let him go to get in it. So, you know, he's been good to us, and I thank him on today. I thank God today, for he is a merciful God. He's a great God, king above every king. I tell you, he is a good God, and I thank God for him just keeping us alive standing up, fighting for us, and all kind of stuff he do for us, even the sending his only begotten son.
Yes, God.
So, I just thank and praise God. I give God. Sometimes I just sit and think, and the more things that happen in my life, the more that I can see clearly. The more I can see clearly. So I'm trying to make sure that I let you all see clearly. I'm keeping it real and keeping it 100. We got to do what God has called us to do. And we can't be playing around, because I'm telling you, these are the end times. These are the end times. Know that they are. So I'm not going to hold you any longer. We're going to get ready to dismiss. I just want you to know that this is our Bible class night. I'm going to move our praise, prayer, and prophecy hour back to Thursday. We'll have service on Thursday, Friday, and Sunday every week. Thursday, Friday, and Sunday every week. That's what we're going to do. So from now on, by the grace of God. So I'm going to get ready to dismiss. I love you all to dismiss. I love you all so much. And that's why I have to tell you. I have to tell you. I'm commissioned to tell you. And I will tell you. So, Father, we thank you now. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the Ten Commandments. Lord, we thank you for your commandments in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. I ask you to cover everyone in the shed blood of Jesus that's up under the sound of my voice, those in radio land. I ask you to encamp angels all around about them to protect them and their families, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you today, Lord. We love your word, Father. We love you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen, amen. I love you all, and God love you too. You all have a good evening, rest of the Sabbath. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Love you. Good night.